Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the South Indian Bank Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raju Barnawal from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, I welcome you all to the South Indian Bank earnings conference call to discuss Q1 FY24 results. I thank the management for providing us the opportunity to host the call. South Indian Bank management is by Mr. Murali Ramakrishnan, MD and CEO, Mr. Thomas Joseph, EVP and Chief Business Officer, Mr. Anto George, CGM, HR and Operations, Mr. Sanchay Sinha, SGM and Country Head, Ms. Chitra, Chief Financial Officer. With this, I hand over the call to the MD, sir, for his opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining us for the South Indian Bank Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. I am joined by my colleagues, Mr. Thomas Joseph, EVP and Chief Business Officer, Mr. Anto George, CGM and HR and Operations, Mr. Sanchay Sinha, SGM and Country Head, Ms. Chitra, SGM and CFO, Mr. Sony, SGM and CIO, Ms. Biji, SGM and Group Business Head, Mr. Senthil Kumar, SGM Collection and Recovery, Ms. Minu Moonjely, SGM Head Credit Underwriting, Mr. Vinod, GM Treasury, and Mr. Nehru Singh, GM Credit Policy and Monitoring. Let me start with the key highlights of financial performance for the quarter ended June 2023. Highest-ever business of 169,601 crore for the history of the bank. Total deposits grew by 8% to rupees 95,499 crore from rupees 88,196 crore on a year-on-year basis. Gross advances grew by 15% to 74,102 crore from 64,704 crore on a year-on-year basis. Operating profit for the quarter has increased by 55% from rupees 316 crore in Q1 FY23 to rupees 490 crore in Q1 FY24. Net profit for the quarter grew by 76% year-on-year from rupees 115 crore to 202 crore. CASA amount increased by 3% year-on-year to rupees 31,166 crore as against 30,335 crore. Net interest margin improved by 60 basis points year-on-year to 3.34% in Q1 FY24 as against 2.74% in Q1 FY23. Provision coverage ratio, including write-off, improved by 643 basis points year-on-year to reach 76.54% in Q1 FY24 against 70.11% during Q1 FY23. Provision coverage ratio, excluding write-off, improved by 1,255 basis points year-on-year to reach 65.15% in Q1 FY24 against 52.6% during Q1 FY23. Overall, gross NPA reduced by 74 basis points from 5.87% to 5.13% on a year-on-year basis. Net NPA reduced by 102 basis points from 2.87% to 1.88% on a year-on-year basis. Improvement in ROA to 0.73% against 0.46% year-on-year. ROE improved to 11.8% against 7.68% year-on-year. Recovery and upgradation NPA accounts increased from rupees 296 crore in Q1 FY23 to rupees 362 crore in Q1 FY24. Continuing our focus on collections, our SMA 2 portfolio has come down by 19% on a year-on-year basis from 1,102 crore to rupees 888 crore. Built a new book of rupees 45,268 crore from October 20 with better underwriting, reflecting GNPA close to 0.16% and SMA 2 book at 0.23%. With regard to the status of sale of assets to ARC, we carry a balance of SR 1,378 crore and provision of 1,223 crore. With this, the net value of SR outstanding is 153 crore. CRAR improved on a year-on-year basis to 16.49, and the Tier 1 ratio stands at 14.04 as of June 30, 2023. Let me now take you through the other operational and financial performance of the bank. Total business for the bank increased by 11% and stands at 169,600 crore as of June 30, 2023. Advances grew by 15% year-on-year to 74,902 crore, backed by total disbursements of 22,908 crore during the quarter ended June 2023. The details of disbursement for the quarter were as follows: Corporate, 17,200 crores, predominantly to A and above rated corporates. Gold, rupees 2,883 crores. Business segment, rupees 997 crores. And other retail, 1,028 crores, which includes housing loan of 185 crores, PL of 286 crores, and other retail of 557 crores. The share of A and above rated large corporates has improved from 91% as of June 30, 22 to 96% at June 30, 23. We continue to grow our gold loan business. Our disbursement year on year from 1722 to 3623 was 11,256 crores with an average LTV of 83.94% and a ticket size of 1.6 lakhs. Gold loan book grew by 21% year on year to reach 14,478 crores. Personal loan is another segment where we see good traction since the launch of pre-approved PL in December 21. As of June 23, our PL book had crossed 1,935 crores. Credit card is another growth area which we launched during FY22. As of June 23, we had issued 2,51,099 cards with monthly average spends of rupees 21,273. The total book as of June 23 stood at 955 crores. As far as SME is concerned, we are seeing good uptick in disbursement month on month over the past few quarters. We are cautiously growing this segment. The average monthly disbursement for this quarter is rupees 332 crores. Coming to liability portfolio, our core deposits grew by 6% year on year to 92,043 crores. NRI deposits continue to be our strength and now stands at 28,382 crores. It contributes to 30% of our total deposits. Low-cost NRI deposit stands at 9,116 crores. The bank saw a growth of 8% year-on-year in our NRI remittance business. Our investment book was at 27,281 crores, split into HTM of rupees 20,882 crores and AFS and HFT of rupees 6,399 crores. M duration of the investment book is at 2.79 as of June 30, 2023. The fresh slippages stood at 468 crores as of Q1 FY24, which is within the overall guidance. The overall restructured book stands at 1,297 crores as of 30 June 23, again 2,198 crores during June 22, of which business segment is 748 crores, personal segment is 225 crores, corporate is 297 crores and agri is 27 crores. The bank holds standard asset provision including standard restructured and FITL of 493 crores. Net interest income for the quarter increased by 34% year on year to rupees 808 crores. Our core fee income increased by 17% year-on-year to 150 crores. Treasury profit for the quarter was at 55 crores, excluding provision on investments. Overall, provisions increased by 43% year-on-year to 199 crores in Q1 FY24, mainly due to the higher provision to hold the PCR at 76.54 and 100% provision made in the credit card without considering the FLDG. We'll continue to maintain the momentum and disbursement collection in the coming quarters to achieve the desired targets. With this, I open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Darshan Deora from Invest Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question was regarding slide 14 of the presentation where we've shown the net interest income. On that slide, we're showing that the yield on advances has come down from 9.3% in Q4 FY23 to 9.17. Can you just explain that? Why has the yield on advances come down?
Yield is a, as you know, yield is a mix of, I mean, a combination of the assets growth which we show during the quarter. So when we are continuously driving to attract good quality assets, obviously you need to be taking care of the rate at which you want to offer such facilities. Therefore, this is a this decrease is not anything which is specific. It's basically a combination of the assets which we grew during the quarter. One thing which we should be mindful is that due to liquidity situation when we were repricing our liabilities, it's very important to reprice our assets also. But as you know, if you can fully pass on the increase in liability cost to the customers, sometimes you might end up losing the deal because of good counterparties will be expecting fine rates. Therefore, we need to be maneuvering this very carefully, not ensure that we don't lose good deals for want of a slightly higher interest rates. So this is something which we'll continue to be mindful of, and especially this last two quarters when we have seen our cost of deposits going up, we should be mindful of rate at which we pass on the end rate to the customer. So this is I would say that this is pretty much in tune with what we thought we need to do in order to build a strategy of having good quality portfolio continue to be accruing to us.
So I think on the previous call you had mentioned that the NIM on the incremental business is about 3.6%. Does that still hold true?
See, NIM on that 3.6%, let me just take a couple of minutes to explain. See, what we do as a bank when we have when we are actually declaring a particular asset as NPA, you know that we stop accruing interest in our books, and we also do reversal of income. But when we do reversal of income, post that, obviously, in the customer's account, we'll continue to accrue interest because at the time of settlement, which can happen either 1 year from then or 2 years from now, so many years from then, we need to ensure that whatever recovery we do, as per the practice which we follow, we first set it off against the sacrifice which we do towards interest when we actually declare that as NPA. And post adjusting the sacrifice of interest which we did, we go and adjust against the GNPA reduction. So this what does this mean is that in a particular quarter, if you have got a very big account recovered, like what happened in Q4, for example, when we recovered a Syntex, which is a very, very Syntex, and many other cases where we recovered a substantial amount, there has been a adjustment towards the interest sacrifice which we did. And this interest is actually shown under NII. To that extent, in any quarter where there is a bumper recovery happening, you will find that also contributing to the NII. So I would say that this 3.67% for the quarter was due to the extraordinary recovery which happened during Q4. However, this quarter, therefore, if you look at the NIM for the bank as a whole, for the full year, we ended the year with 3.3% NIM, which we have increased to 3.34% for Q1 of this year. So you'll also see in this year also, as we go forward, whenever a big recovery happens, you will find for that particular quarter, NIM actually jumping. So NIM is contributed by life as usual increase in NIM and this one-off which contributes to the interest reversal of sacrifice which we do, which can probably help us in showing higher NIM. Our on NIM is that we will reach 3.5% for the bank by March 24, which we continue to hold. So in a quarter, we might exceed 3.5%. Doesn't mean that we will be able to hold it for the bank for the full year. That's where we are now saying that for the full year, we ended with 3.3 for last year, which we want to end this year with 3.5.
Got it. That's very helpful. So essentially, Q4 was more of an anomaly than really this quarter.
We wanted that to be happening often, positive anomaly.
Yeah, it was positive anomaly. My second question was, regarding the ROA guidance, are we still on track to achieve the 1% ROA that we are guided for FY24?
Yes. We endeavor to reach ROA of 1% by March 24. Of course, it depends on the situation of liquidity and the repricing and the ability to pass on increase in cost and the portfolio mix. So we are still continuing to want to reach that level of ROA.
Okay. And my last question was regarding the, the classification of the new book versus the old book. So there are definitely loans in the old book, which you sort of, allow to lapse. And there are certain loans that you would like to renew because, they're good quality customers. The loans that you renew in the old book, do they then move to the new book in your classification or do they continue to stay in the old book?
Wherever we give enhancement, we show it as a new book because then we do a fresh appraisal. But as you know, renewal is something which we cannot not afford to do. When a customer who is actually showing signs of stress, we need to renew, but then we will take action in terms of either decreasing our exposure or exiting that exposure. But however, wherever we are giving enhancement, we definitely do a reappraisal, and that's how we classify them as a new book.
So in the case of an enhancement, will you just put the enhancement bit in the new book or you'll put the entire loan into the new book?
No, let me ask. I think Vinod, who is our finance head, he will answer that. Yeah.
Sir, new book, what we are going is that from October 20, whatever the new book, whatever the disbursement happened to the new customers will be classified as new book.
No, the specific question is when an existing customer who is coming for renewal, when we are doing enhancement, are we showing the full exposure as a new book or only the enhanced portion?
And only the enhancement portion.
Only the enhancement portion we show it as a new book.
Okay.
But then
when that account
turns into NPA, for example, in future, obviously the slippages will be counted as a slippage happening from the new book.
Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 1 to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, a couple of them. One, just continuing on the margins, right? Just want to understand that, let's say in the previous quarter, the recovery that we had factored in, had it not been there, then what would have our margins been in the fourth quarter? That's the first one. And just wanted a clarification. You said by March 24, we want to reach a 3.5% margin. Are you referring to the exit margin or the full year margin of 3.5, which compares with 3.3 full year margin of last year?
Yeah, to answer your second question, we want to reach a full year margin of 3.5 for the bank as against 3.3 for the last year. And to answer your first question, in terms of NII, I can probably answer it in a different way. If you look at the NII, which we did for Q4, this reversal of interest on NPA, which happened due to recovery for Q4, was 101 crores. So in Q4, for example, our total net interest income was 857 crores, of which 101 crores were contributed by this reversal. So if you net it off, it's 756 crores for Q4. If you do the same thing for Q1, 808 crores is an NII, and the benefit due to reversal of interest on NPA due to recovery is 47 crores. So if you net it off, the net number is 761. So 761 for Q1 of FY24 in relation to 756 for Q4 of FY23, which has shown a growth of 1%.
Understood. That's fairly helpful. Thank you. So the second question which I have is on our OPEX. The employee cost line has seen a substantial jump this quarter. Just wanted to understand, is there any one-off in this 400 crore employee cost number?
Yeah, I have Mr. Anto, who is the head of our group HR head for us. He will answer this question. Yeah.
Yeah, so the employee cost increase has been with 2-3 factors. One is that normally April, May, we have additional employees coming in and the normal increase and the DA increase, normal DA increase that is there, that is accounts to around 12 crore. And then there is a provision for the retirement benefits. So normally what we do is we take an actuarial valuation from the beginning of the year and accordingly we start providing. So last year also we had done the provision, but then year end, when we find the actual, we had written back around 45 crore on the Q4 of last financial year. So that is where the difference is coming. It is even this year also we have taken the actuary valuation. Based on that, we have provided 72 crore on that. But then year end, we will take a stock of that and we will see what is the position actual, what is the where does the actual stand. And if required, we will write back. So that's why that there's an additional 45 crore we have written back since we had provided more last year, the March. That is one area. And then wage revision, some additional provision has been also been made.
I'll just supplement what Anto said. In terms of employee, he said the number of employees have gone up. Just to give you numbers on that, last year Q1, we had an employee base of 9,553 people. In Q4 of last year, we had employee base of 9,677, whereas for Q1 of this year, we have an employee base of 9,894. So in all, we have increased our number of employees from 9677 from of Q4 to 9894. So that has resulted also in increase in salary cost. But you know that this increase happens in Q1, but this is pretty much taking into account the full year employee requirement.
Understood. Sir, and my last question was a bit of a clarification on the credit cost. So during your opening remarks, you did mention that there was 100% provision made on the credit card portfolio without considering FLDG. So just wanted to understand, number one, how big is the quantum? And second is, should we assume that given that we already have a FLDG provision out there, that provision that we have taken in the first quarter might get reversed during the course of the year?
Yes, that's a good question. So what we were doing till last quarter was, whenever we were getting, we have an FLDG arrangement of 4.5% with our fintech partner. So whenever we were receiving FLDG based on the NPA slippages happening, we were actually, when it comes to provisioning, we were netting it off, and therefore this was not reflecting in provisions. Whereas we are consequent to the new guidelines which RBI had come out with in terms of digital lending guidelines, we still maintain the view that credit card guidelines which RBI had issued in 2016 and even subsequently is the one which we should be guided by. But in view of this FLDG guideline, talking about new digital lending guidelines is talking about FLDG, we are just waiting for clarification in order to really account it as a inflow into our income. But in line with IRAC norms, we need to anyway provide for NPA slippages happening in credit cards. So earlier we were netting it off. This quarter we actually had shown that in our provisions. Therefore, you are seeing an increase in provision. However, the inflow which we have got by through FLDG, we have not accounted for it. We are waiting for that clarification. If it happens within Q2, then we will see the reversal of that happening in Q2 itself.
Sure. And sir, how big is the quantum?
38 crores.
Sure. Sorry, and just one last question if I can squeeze in. So, sir, this quarter we have also seen a jump up in slippages. Now, I understand that there is a bit of a seasonality out here. Keeping that aside, I mean, should we assume that our full year guidance that we gave of slippages of about 1,500 odd crores and similar quantum of recoveries, we would be able to sustain that?
Yes.
Okay.
We always seen that Q1 slippages are always on the higher side. Like if you look at last year Q1 and even prior year Q1, slippages in first quarter are always little on the higher side. This slippage also in this quarter has happened due to two specific corporate accounts which had slipped. And this usually happens in Q1. So going forward, we are still maintaining the guidance of 1,500 crores. I'm fairly confident that we'll be able to curtail it within that.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much for the clarification and wish you good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Priyansh, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yes, sir. I have two questions. First of all, that is regarding NCLT. How much exposure we have for those corporate which are under NCLT? And like, is it fully provided?
Senthil, you want to answer that while I take the exact numbers? Senthil, are you there?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah.
So, see, I'm saying there are how much of portfolio lying exactly with NCLT? I think I'll just give you the number in some time. Whatever we have is, you know.
Senthil, I will answer that while you. See, we have got. We have referred close to 14 accounts to NCLT, and the GNPA as against these 14 accounts adds up to 236. As against that, we have provided for 217 crores. In effect, we have provided for 92% of the accounts lying in NCLT.
So, when do we expect, or like, how much do we expect that, like, in the coming quarter of this financial year, we may be able to recover from these accounts?
See, it purely depends on how NCLT functions. I mean, this nobody's nobody can guess that correctly.
No, sir. I fully understand what I'm saying.
If
some cases are suppose in the advanced stage, something like this, suppose the COC meeting already happened and kind of thing. So that I'm just getting about that one.
So let me just complete what I'm saying. It's I don't think it's a good idea to speculate which one will get done, because many of these accounts are lying today either in loss assets or DA1 or 2. These are the status of these assets. So, and you know that in NCLT, right at the time when IBC got introduced, the expectation from IBC, as we saw going forward, from then on, we weren't really seeing good traction happening at that point in time. Subsequently, we had a couple of good recovery also happening through IBC. So my suggestion would be not really overestimate or underestimate in this area. Suffice to say that we are keeping 92% of our accounts referred to NCLT, and it's if you compare my overall number, it's insignificant. It's 236 crores is what we are talking about. Therefore, it's not very material. And we have, again, sir, we have provided anyway for 212 crores, 92%. So, in my view, I don't want to speculate whether we will recover more or less from this.
Thank
no, no. Just to add, I thought, you know, we also have to keep in mind that, you know, COC happening, getting a plan in place is not a recipe for immediate recovery. Syntex itself, if you remember, we had in, you know, May of 2022, and then we finally got the money in March of 2023. I think it's not possible to estimate with that.
Correct.
Thank you.
That's why I'm saying it's if it happens, it's a bonus for us. If it doesn't happen, I mean, we are conservatively estimating, and we will not be hesitant to even provide fully and wait for the resolution to happen.
Thank you. May we request Mr. Priyansh that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Our next question is from the line of Ish Mohit from SOIC LILP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So this kind of question, what will be a full year credit cost guidance?
1.8 to 1.9%.
Right. And is it because you're seeing some like more asset quality, 1.8, 1.9%, this seems a bit on the higher side?
No, we have always been, in fact, we were at a much higher number. If you can see last few quarters, I mean, we were always at a much higher percentage. This I'm saying is actually first time we are actually telling you below 2.
Right. And what will be a full year guidance for GNPA and NNPA numbers?
GNPA we are looking at 4.0. We are currently at about 5.1% around 5.1%. We want to move towards 4.5% as far as GNPA is concerned. Net NPA we are currently at about 1.83%. We would want to move towards 1% by the end of the year.
Okay. And sir, anything on the successors, any internal candidate or external candidate?
Sorry, I can't hear you clearly. Come again.
Anything on the successors? Is it an external or internal candidate, or when does it get announced?
See, we have actually sent our NRC has sent the recommendation for 2 candidates to RBI, and RBI, we are expecting RBI clearance to come, hoping to come around mid of August. Obviously, at this stage, we can't reveal anything else. So we are also waiting for RBI clearance, and after that, we will anyway come back and let you know about the successor.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank
you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Jain from Chanakya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have 2 questions. On the page 27 of the presentation, you have mentioned business loan slippages in business loan is 266 crores. Can you share the breakup in corporate and retail loan?
Sorry, your voice is not clear at all. You'll have to repeat your question and maybe talk a bit slowly because it's varying.
Yeah. So on the page number 27 of presentation, you have mentioned the business loan slippages amounting to Rs. 266 crores. Can you share the breakup between retail and corporate loans?
Just a second. So you are talking about 266 crores again business loan. Is that what you are asking?
Yes, sir.
266 loan is business loan only. Corporate is sales loan separately, you know, 53 crores.
So this business loan is given to retail sector.
Retail, no, personal segment is 96 crores. I mean, if you are talking about segment-wise, NPA slippages are 468 crores. Agriculture is 52 crores. Business loan is 266 crores. Personal segment is 96 crores, and corporate is 53 crores.
No, so this business loan is given to retail or corporates?
I didn't understand. Retail is to individuals. Yes, business segment is to SME. I didn't understand your question.
Okay, so this is SME, 266 crore.
Yes. We are clearly defining that personal segment, retail is to individuals. We are saying SME is below 250 crores of turnover as per the definition of RBI is SME, which is business segment. Anything above 250 crores is corporate. So we are classifying them as per that only.
Okay. And you have mentioned that two corporate accounts have slipped to NPA category. So how much is the exposure to those accounts?
Those accounts adds up to close to
52.
You can ask.
Yes, sir. So totally three accounts were there, amounting to total 53 crores. One account is actually the amount is low. In one, it is about 30 crores. So that's how it happened.
Thank you. Mr. Vivek Jain, may we request you to return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. I request to all participants to limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All questions have been answered. Just what are you targeting in terms of loan book growth? That's all I wanted to know. Or what is going to
happen
for the year?
We are targeting for two times the growth of GDP. We are expecting GDP growth to be around 6.5% for the full year. So we are expecting 13% growth. We are endeavoring to surpass that. As of Q1, we have done about close to 15% growth. Full year, we are giving guidance of 13% growth. Currently, the asset book is at about 74,000 crores. We are endeavoring to reach 82,000 crores by the end of the year.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Unique Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Hi. So what is the provision coverage ratio that we have right now?
Excluding write-off, including write-off, it's about 76%. Excluding write-off, it's about 65%.
Okay. And when do you plan to take it forward to 80%, 90%?
Yeah, we will be doing that. We want to reach the first milestone of 70% by the end of the year, excluding write-off. And what you should remember is that as we keep increasing PCR, you need to keep providing far in excess of what IRAC norms mention. Therefore, even this quarter, for example, as against 267 crores of provisioning which you have done, only 115 crores refer to the IRAC norms, provisioning as per IRAC norms. Just because PCR is at a higher level, we need to keep providing far more than what we need to provide. Therefore, if you keep increasing your PCR, it also means that you need to provide far in excess, which obviously will depress your profitability, etc. So while that being so, we would want to reach healthy levels of 70% plus for PCR excluding write-off. And that is the indicator which I'm sure all analysts are interested in. And that would obviously mean that including write-off, it will go beyond 80%.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikash Beth. From Vikas Beth, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good set of numbers. Congratulations. I just missed the earlier part of the presentation. Could you please explain the 199 crore provisions for this quarter? And are we likely to have similar or lower in other quarter with the provisions?
Yeah. Just hold on for a minute. Let me just take that. See, this 198 crores of provisioning which you have done, let me take 2 minutes to explain what all comes under this. One is the provision for NPAs, which including write-off, excluding technical write-off. So that for this quarter is 247 crores. And we have actually done reversal of 14 crores, which was provided towards standard assets. We have done reversal of 27 crores against FITL. We have done reversal of 2 crores against unhedged foreign currency. We have done a reversal of 4 crores against provision for non-banking asset. And we have done 1 crore reversal as against provision for fraud. Netting of all of this, for the quarter, it comes to 198 crores. The same number for Q4, provision was 134 crores because of the other thing which I talked about, substantial recovery, etc., which happened, the same numbers towards a provision for NPIs is 56. That was specifically to the quarter four, which was not there for this quarter. And then standard asset reversal provisioning was 18 crores for Q4. FITL reversal was 16 crores. And we had to provide 2 crores towards unhedged foreign currency. That's what got reversed this quarter. And then 6 crores towards other impaired assets, which again has been has come down to minus, I mean, one crore, reversal of 1 crore now. So total for the Q4 was 39 crores. As against 198 crores, Q4 it was 39 crores. But if you look at it, this was primarily due to provision for NPA, which was a substantial, which had a substantial reversal in Q4. While the overall NPA, I mean, as I told earlier, this provision for NPA also includes 38 crores, which are provided toward credit card, which was actually netted off in the last quarter.
Okay, thank you. And the through the rest of the year, are we likely to see similar provisions, or is it to be more moderate than this?
I think typically Q1 slippages are on the higher side. So we are continuing to hold the guidance of 1,500 crore slippage for the full year. So we certainly expect it to moderate in the coming quarters.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jai Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if I adjust, as you said, the NPA recovery, right, if I adjust for that in the NII growth is around 1% quarter on quarter. That would mean that your margins would have still declined versus fourth quarter. And then you estimate a full year margins rise of around 20 basis points. So what are the levers in a scenario where the growth is still coming from corporate, which is very competitive? B, the cost of deposit would still ideally rise, and the yield expansion is likely to be, you know, more plateaued. So wanted to understand your thoughts here.
Yeah, good question. See, first let me tell you when the increase in cost, repricing of deposit happens, depending on the ability of each business line, we are able to pass on. Just to give you a sense, amongst all the businesses, the business which was able to pass on higher cost is actually corporate. Though corporate is very competitive in terms of end price to the customer, but the ability to pass on has actually been demonstrated very well in our corporate group, number one. Number two, your overall NIM will start increasing as you keep increasing your composition of your unsecured. Today, my unsecured book is less than 3,000 crores, 1,900 crores towards PL and about 925 crores towards credit card. This we definitely expect it to keep growing, because this is still today at a very low level in comparison to my overall retail book also and overall asset book also. So you know that this comes at a good NIM, and we are actually hoping that we are coming up with two big initiatives, which are WIP, with which hopefully we'll be able to improve the traction of personal loan happening and credit card happening, with which we are expecting to see an increase in NIM going forward. Having said that, we will also continue to endeavor to pass on increase in cost across all other business lines too, in terms of gold loan, in terms of SME loan, all that also we will endeavor to keep on passing up increase. But you are right, in terms of the repricing of deposits, we have done repricing to some extent, but then there is still some more to be done. Maybe by second half, you will be probably seeing moderation. We also hope that, you know, regulators not increasing repo rate beyond 25 basis from the current level. Hopefully, after that, it will stabilize. So I would tend to think that, you know, you can probably may have to reprice little more, and then hopefully it will stay on. And from then on, your ability to pass on this increase in cost to the customer will decide the NIM traction going forward. Yes, I do agree that it's not going to be easy to take it to 3.5% level. We are currently at 3.34, but our endeavor will definitely be to take it to that level, because we are expecting some more recovery to happen in big accounts in the coming quarters, which will definitely help us to write back some of the sacrificed interest income. With all that, we believe that we'll be able to take it forward for the full year at 3.5%.
Understood, sir. And secondly, while there is some reclassification maybe at the beginning of the financial year in terms of MSME, etc., but what is the reason for, you know, such a sharp drop in the MSME? Are we getting out priced by some of the competitors, or what is the situation there?
See, this revision which you have done in the beginning of the quarter is primarily to ensure that some of the group accounts of corporate which were earlier booked under SME because of the exposure being small, etc., now we are realigning them to corporate so that the corporate can be serviced by a single relationship manager who is handling the relationship. So that has led to some of the exposures moving from SME into corporate. And some of the exposures in SME, we had a fairly large exposure of excess of 25 crores, etc., where we felt it makes sense to be handled by a large corporate team. And similarly, some of the individual retail loans, which were taken by SME borrowers, which were earlier booked under SME business, we have now moved them because the underlying loan is for the individual towards LAP or towards a home loan or towards car loan, etc. We have now realigned them to the retail. So this is the initial rearrangement which you have done in the opening book of 72,051 crores, which you started the year with. But with respect to your question on book growth in SME, it's a combination of few factors. Obviously, the fresh disbursement will add to the increase in book, and you will also lose your book because we want to do forced exit depending on the behavior of the customer. And also, there will be a little bit of poaching which can happen due to competitive pricing being offered by competition. So it's a combination of them, and therefore we will we are not in a tearing hurry to increase our SME book because we know that it's a very difficult business. You will have to be very, very careful in building that book. Even today, if you look at my first quarter slippage, predominant contribution has come from SME of the past legacy book. So we will continue to be exercising caution in building this book. But so long as we are able to change the mix of the SME book with more and more of core SME, and supplemented with the bill discounting for SME, and we are able to maintain quality of the new book, we are fairly sure that it will continue to yield a reasonably good income for us while maintaining the quality of the book.
Right. And last, just one data point question, sir. Of the total recovery upgrade and write-off, if you can bifurcate into how much is the recovery upgrade and write-off separately for this quarter.
Give me a
And meanwhile, sir, this 155 crores of security receipts net NAV, is there any, let's say, I think the MTM has to happen every 6 months. So when does this, let's say, gets off fully? I mean, when does it get out of the balance sheet?
Yeah, you are talking about SR.
SR, yes, sir.
Yes, sir, you actually provided far in excess. As I told you in the past, we have actually provided far in excess of what is needed. That was the reason why we had a dip in our Q3 numbers. So for the full year, if you look at it till March 24, we need to provide only 7 crores. If we don't recover anything from the book, we need to provide only 7 crores for the year ended March 24. And for the subsequent year of March 25, we are looking at 103, 108, 111 crores is what we are looking at for the next full year if we don't recover anything. But as you can see, whenever we recover, we have a write back coming in this. So therefore, we really don't foresee that to be an issue. But just to answer your earlier question, fresh slippages was 468 crores for the quarter. And we have done a GNPA recovery of 217 crores. And then we did a write-off of 174 crores. These are the breakup of what we have done in our opening balance of 3708 crores. So the closing balance for GNPA is 3804 crores.
Sure. Understood, sir. Thanks for patiently answering all the questions, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arjun Bhatia from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible. Yes.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So in the last quarterly call, you had mentioned that credit cost for full year FY24 would be
crores or close to 1% of loan. So just wanted to clarify in that credit cost.
1.1 to 1.25% is what we are holding. See, I'm actually, let me put it this way. We are looking at asset growth to reach a book size of 82,000 crores by the end of the year. And we are looking at a slippage of not more than 1,500 crores for the full year. Therefore, with this in mind, you can, I mean, if you sort of work it out, it will come to close to 1 to 1.25% as the credit cost.
Okay, got it.
As I said earlier, it has got a lot of components within that. I mean, if you were to really look at the breakup of, let me just spell that out, because in my earlier question also I had given some breakup, because it's very easy to miss these numbers and probably we can misinterpret. So one is, when you look at the credit cost, we are talking about, one is loan loss provision. That's the number which we start with. Then we have a restructured and FITL, where if some account is becoming turning into NPA, then we will take that away from FITL or restructured provisioning. Then there is a security receipt. Depending on the recovery which happens, there is a reversal of provision which will happen because of the liquidation of security receipts. So then you are looking at the gross advance figure. So for the quarter, for the full year, if you look at it, we are looking at a loan loss provision. All these are estimated projections. So I'm just telling you what we are actually trying to estimate. Loan loss provision for the full year, we are looking at 698 crores. This is just to tell you, this is again 627 crores for the previous year. And restructured and FITL, we are expecting a reversal of 75 crores. This is against 124 crores reversal which happened last year. So net COVID provision is anyway zero. Therefore, total for the full year, we are expecting it to be 624 crores as against 503 crores. And security receipts, reversal will happen for this quarter, which is 77 crores. Last year, if you look at it, we had to provide extra towards security receipt in Q3. Because of which last year it looked at 374 crores addition. Therefore, total provision including SRs will be 547 crores for this year as against 877 crores for the previous year. So if you were to really look at 82,000 crores as my gross advance book, I am expecting credit cost to be far lower than what I am projecting. But we would definitely endeavor to reach around 0.9 to 1%. 1 to 1.1% is what I want to take it as guidance from.
Okay, that's very helpful. And this 547 crore, I guess, also includes this 38 crores of FLDG, this provision that you've made. You're not expecting the write back in your guidance of 547 crore.
We expect it to get reversed. Hopefully, we will get clarification and we will expect it to get reversed.
But sir, is it part of your guidance?
Is it part, meaning?
Is it like your...
We are expecting that to get reversed during the year. I mean, in Q2 itself, if we get clarification, we'll reverse it.
So, it is not part of your guidance, the number of 1.1% you're saying, you're not including this 160 crores, right?
Not 160 crores, 38 crores.
Recurring every quarter, right?
No. It depends on how much credit card slippage happens. See, FLDG basically is what? 4.5%, we have got FLDG cover given by our fintech partner. So whatever NPA happens, we to that extent, we will be compensated. So we till now, for Q1, we were at about 38 crores, which we were not providing earlier, which we had to provide because earlier we were netting it off. Now we have provided. This and we are not considering FLDG, which we actually received as an income for this quarter, though we have provided 100% fully in our provisioning. This we expected to get reversed hopefully after clarification, because we are fairly sure that this is not applicable. Therefore, 38 crores we will continue to show as a provision, but then the income part which we are today showing as a depressed income will get reflected in income.
And it will come under other income?
Yeah, other income, yes.
So net impact will basically be zero, you know, whether the regulatory...
If you are taking it as income and if you are providing, net impact will be zero. For this quarter, we have not accrued that as an income. We have only provided.
So next quarter, you will anyway provide your income?
Next quarter, if this clarification comes, then we will have to account for that as an income. So while provision will be continuing to be maintained as per IRAC norms, we will maintain that provision.
And then lastly, just for clarification, your overall, you know, employee cost for this year, what are you projecting, the range?
1 to 1.25%.
No, sir, employee cost, absolute amount.
Employee, you are talking about employee cost or credit cost? I heard it as credit cost.
Sir, employee cost.
Employee cost, see, it's what we have done, as explained earlier, we recruit people for the fairly for the full year in the beginning itself. From then on, it will be some small incremental numbers which will keep recruiting depending on the attrition which happens and depending on the specific skill sets which you are looking at. So, and also this actuarial calculation which we do, we will again keep doing it at the end of the year. We will again do it and see whether there is any reversal which we need to do or we need to provide anything extra. So, again, this actuarial calculation also involves how much is the, what is the view on interest rates in the market to go up and all that. So, it's a complex calculation, as you know. So, we will take it up and see whether we need to either provide more or do the reversal at the end of the year.
No, sir, I understand, you know, the calculations, but just at a very rough cut level for your internal planning, you know, like are you assuming a 5% increase in employee costs, are you assuming a 10% increase in employee costs, a very rough cut. I understand nothing about future status, you know, but just a rough cut number for everyone.
See, employee cost, frankly, I don't want you to take any guidance. What I just want to tell you is that we do provisions based on what is the likely settlement which can happen between association union with the IBA. For that, we anticipate 15% to be the increase which is happening. Therefore, we have started providing, hoping that it will be 15%. That we will continue to do every quarter. That's the only thing which we can have for certainty. Rest all, number of employees getting added or attrition which is happening, all these are not numbers which we can have a firm commitment to. So, what we are trying to do is, whatever we are anticipating, we are as much wanting to provide upfront so that we don't get any shocks at the end of the year.
Thank you, sir. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Arjun Bhatia. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So just wanted to clarify again, sir, on the NPA provision part, sir. 247 crores without the reversal. So if, that correlates to the full year 534 crores, is that right, way to look at it? And this 247 includes 38, so it's actually 200. And versus full year guidance for 550 crores.
Just give me a minute. Yeah, let me first stick to the quarter one. Quarter one, yes, for this quarter, we are talking about loan loss provision was 243 crores.
Right.
This obviously includes 38 crores which we have provided towards credit card,
right,
where we have not factored the FLDG which we have received as income, we are not factoring that. So therefore, to that extent, it is over, I mean, if you really were to get a clarification, to some extent, it is overstated by 38 crores. That is number one.
Right.
Let me first complete for Q1, then I'll answer your, ask your question.
Right.
Second one is, depending on the FITL and restructure, where we do keep seeing reversal every quarter. This was 43 crores for last quarter and this is 44 crores for this quarter. So this clearly depends on how much recovery happens and how much of SMA2 slips into NPA from the restructured book or from the regular book. So that the summation of that is what is causing this extra provisioning which has to come as per that. Okay, so apart from this, the third factor which affects the provisioning is the SR. Depending on the redemption of SRs which keep happening based on the recovery done by the ARC. So this again is a number, since we have excessively provided towards SR in the previous quarters, we are only hoping that reversal of provision will happen as and when SR gets liquidated. So the combination of these is what we are seeing as, for this quarter it was 175 crores as against 113 crores for Q4 of last year. Okay, so whatever I am saying for the full year is based on the assumptions which you are making in each of these line items. Therefore, we can't really hold everything to the last digit which I am saying. by and large, we would want to look at, I mean, as per our own estimate, we are looking at, though I say 547, it's a very aggressive number, I mean, extremely conservative number. For Q4, we ended with 877 crores. For the full year, we ended with 877 crores for last year. And year before, obviously, due to COVID, it was 1,643 crores. And FY21, it was 1,603 crores. So if you were to really look at numbers of last 3 years, 1,603, 1,643, 877. So if you are really touching 547, which is what I'm saying, I think we should be really congratulating ourselves because it's too an aggressive number which you are wanting to target. Realistically, I would probably factor 700 to 730 crores is what realistically which would happen. But obviously, our endeavor is to better this number. So if you take that into account, I'm talking about credit cost in the range of 0.9, I mean 1 to 1.1% kind of level. Obviously, if we really were able to reach the number which I read out earlier, it will be far lower at 0.67, which is in comparison to 1.22 for FY23.
Right, sir. So just again, coming back to this 247, I will exclude my credit card to bring it down to 210. And then that number I can compare to the 547. Would that be right? This first quarter 210 versus 547.
No, 243. See, credit card provision will, whatever NPA which you are showing in our credit card book, the provision for that will remain in the book. Since we are writing off 100%, see, we are writing off 100% in 90 days. So we are provided for fully for the credit card slippages which has happened to NPA. So any incremental provisioning which will happen will depend on how much the credit card is slipping into 90 plus. So IRAC norms say that you can provide depending on your internal policy, and we have taken a policy to write off, provide 100%. So in a good scenario where you are accounting for the full income of FLDG which we get, then it will be neutral because you are getting income of 38 crores and your return of 38 crores. To that extent, your provision is up by 38 crores and your income is up by 38 crores. Therefore, it's neutral in terms of P&L. But right, going forward, depending on the clarification which you get in Q2, this impact of 38 crores you will be seeing if it's positive to the back. As far as the provision is concerned, since you have written off 100% already, any incremental provision in that will be any incremental slippage which will happen in credit card.
Thank
which
you.
Will anyway be compensated by FLDG so long as it is within 4.5%.
Thank you. Ms. Pallavi Deshpande, may we request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Siddhant Dandari from High West Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Earlier, we had given the guidance that, you know, the net slippages for fiscal year 24 will be roughly zero. So should we expect at least zero net slippages for the next 3 quarters or with some potential for reversal just so that we mathematically hit this number?
We gave a guidance of 1,500 crores for the full year, which we are pretty much sticking to that. So, though for Q1 it is...
No, but the recovery is that thing, so the full year recovery is...
Full year is 1,500 crores. Yes, we are sticking to that.
Net slippages? I thought it was gross. You know, you are recovering.
Gross slippages is 1,500 crores. We are expecting a recovery and upgrade to happen to the extent of 1,800 crores, which was 1,812 crores for last year, which we were wanting to target for this year too. So, but the 1,800 crores which we are targeting, as I said earlier, the set off will happen towards sacrifices which are made in interest income and also the GNPA, impact on GNPA coming down. So our endeavor is to reach 4.5% GNPA level by end of March.
Correct. So basically, yeah. Okay. So the recovery effectively next 3 quarters should broadly exceed those. That's all that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhairya Trivedi from DJT Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, my question is on the composition of the loan book. As I'm seeing, the ticket size of loans more than 100 crore have gone up in value from 8,900 odd crores in June of last year, about 15,600 crores in Q1 of FY24. So are we following a conscious strategy of increasing the wholesale book? And if yes, do you think this could cause some potential issues in asset quality going forward?
See, if you look at our corporate book, 95% of our book is A and above. So, this we are talking about external rating of A and above. And we have, apart from, of course, relying on external rating, we have always do our own appraisal of such customers. Therefore, we believe that we are actually onboarding really high quality corporate customers. So, we don't really expect such customers to default. I mean, if A and above, if we are not going to be trusting their probability of default, I'm wondering how one can manage SME and other retail book. So, we don't expect it to be that way. And also, what you should also factor into account is that this is required for managing the overall composition of the book in order to maintain all your matrices. See, retail and SME takes time to build. Even if you build aggressively a retail book, which no one should do, I'm saying your 100 crores or 200 crores of personal loan getting added can potentially be a risky proposition, which obviously, unless you manage it properly, you will end up actually having higher delinquency. So diversification of risk is certainly an important factor. Therefore, while we continue to have traction in retail, we should not lose out opportunities on corporate opportunities just coming up. And as I said earlier in my earlier calls also, corporate is not just about credit relationship with the corporate. We actually penetrate this corporate through various other opportunities which we get from corporate. Therefore, we are looking at many other things. I will ask my corporate head to answer this further on what all she is seeing as an opportunity whenever we deal with corporate.
Thank you, sir. So if you can see the composition, as sir rightly mentioned, more than 96% is A and above, and of that also more than 50% is AAA. And here also we are giving a lot of focus to all the PSU companies where the bidding option comes up, and we have teams sitting across India, around 100 people are feet on the street is there. So they will go and explore whatever possibility is there, and when the rates are matching based on the liquidity available for us, we are bidding and getting those opportunities. And when I am talking about the feet on the street with regard to the corporate RMs, wherever they are going, as sir was mentioning, we follow the ecosystem concept wherein the corporate RM will be accompanied by sometimes with the forex RM, sometimes with the retail asset guy, sometimes the digital partners, and all those people will be accompanying the corporate RMs to find out what are the opportunities in other areas so that we can ring fence all the business that is happening around that corporate, including the employee CASA, the employer CASA, the digital opportunities that are available, the wealth opportunities, wealth investment, everything. So that's how we look upon the ROC of a particular deal when we enter into a particular deal. And we ensure that in most of the cases it is about 10%, and if you can see around 50% of the book is having ROC about 20%. Thank you.
Okay, and sir, with regards to the credit cost, just one clarification to one of the earlier participants who mentioned that you are, envisioning a credit cost of 1.8%, and, later in the call you said that, you're expecting it to be between 1.1 and 1.2%. So what is the total, provisions you're expecting for the year? Is it more like 800 crores or something like 1,500 crores?
See, I think answered like 1.8%, that was a slippage ratio which I'm talking about. Slippage ratio is going to be 1.8 to 1.9% for the year. This slippage used to be in excess of 2%, 3% the previous years. So when we are talking about 1,500 crores of slippages on my 82,000 crore book, I'm talking about the slippage of 1.83%. So probably if I had sounded it like a credit cost, then probably I was wrong. I was referring to the slippage ratio. With respect to credit cost, I continue to maintain that we are endeavoring to reach around 1 to 1.1%. That's the number which we are targeting for the year.
Okay, sir. Thank you, and sir, congratulations on a wonderful tenure with the bank, and wish you all the luck going forward in all your future endeavors.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sri Shankar from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. First of all, nice to know that you are continuing with what you have set across 3 years back. Okay, my quick question is, so we have had a steady view on the slippages effectively on SMA2, the stressed accounts. We have been seeing it coming down. In this current quarter, we have seen a sharp jump. do you think anything special has happened, or we still continue to see that SMA 2 numbers continuing to remain on the lower side going forward?
Yeah, it's a good question. So certainly, yes, we would see when we are managing the overall slippages ratio, you know that a lot of efforts go into keeping the accounts not to slip into NPA. Therefore, and we also do continue to work with the customer not to let it slip into the higher buckets. So there is a the way we manage this is that we look at SMA 1 and 2 as one component for managing, and the NPA as one component for managing, and we look at SMA 0, which basically tells you the initial delinquency. So as a team, we are trying to look at SMA 1 and 2 together. And we are looking at slippages as one lot. So slippages, though we had a slippage of 460 odd crores this quarter, which was, as earlier explained, it was due to three specific accounts, big accounts which got slipped into NPA this quarter, which was earlier lying in SMA 2, which slipped into NPA this quarter. Like that, there are accounts which obviously, especially SMEs, etc., where we are seeing also increasing slippage happening in the composition of 460 crores, which we declared as slippage for this year. The contribution has also come from the legacy SME cases. So while the endeavor is to pull them back into SMA 1 and SMA 0 and some of them to make it a standard, I mean to make it to come without any defaults or delays, it's a continuous effort which we need to put in to ensure that they are maintained. So long as, I mean, the way I would look at it is SMA 1 plus 2 as one bucket and slippage as one bucket, and SMA 0, which generally happens due to technical reasons also, we definitely have an eye on that, but then we are not too worried about it. Whereas SMA 1 and 2 together as a block and slippage as a block, we do a close watch on that. Yes, sometimes it happens that, you know, whatever you have been maintaining under SMA 1 and 2 do slip into showing as NPA. And like they say, in the same fashion, some of them which were lying as SMA 1 can slip into SMA 2, which will be able to pull it back to SMA 1. So the way we manage it is to look at them as one block. So I'm not unduly worried about the increase which has happened in SMA 2 for this quarter. We will definitely look at SMA 1 and 2. If you look at SMA 1 number, they have shown a decline. I'm sure Senthil can substantiate that with the numbers. Overall, SMA 1 plus 2 put together is looked at as one block. Yeah, Senthil, you want to supplement my answer?
No. In SMA 1 and 2 together, I think we are at the zone of about 1900 to 2000. So I think there is some slippage which happens in a quarter where SMA 1 goes to SMA 2. But overall, I know the numbers are about 1900 crores between the two of them.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Somil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So if we see our net interest income for this quarter was down, and last four consecutive quarters we were seeing an uptick. So what was the reason for that?
I had explained this reason earlier. I don't know whether you were there in the call during the time. Basically, this was I took a lot of how we are accounting for whenever recovery happens from a large account. We actually attribute the recovery happening first towards the sacrifice of interest which we do. And then we apportion it against the NPA. Therefore, such abnormal collection which we do in any particular quarter will help us to reverse sacrifice interest, which was very high number for Q4. And a much lower number for Q1. If we net that off, actually NIA has gone up by 1% for this quarter compared to last quarter.
Oh, okay. And from this quarter onwards, we can see an uptick going forward.
No, this will again be dependent on the recovery and upgrade which keeps happening in subsequent quarters. You might see some uptick also happening there. So for that quarter, your NIM might appear to be little higher also. So that's the reason why we saw 3.67% NIM for Q4 and 3.34% NIM for this quarter. But for the full year as a bank, we were at 3.3 for last year and we are now at 3.34. And we are endeavoring to reach 3.3% for the full year.
Okay. And sir, still we have no news on your successor. So is there a probability that you can continue for another 2-3 quarters?
No, we have actually sent our names to regulators and we are expecting regulators to revert to us. We are expecting that to happen hopefully by mid of August. I mean, we can't really specifically ascertain any time. We hope that it will happen by and therefore, I mean, since I have expressed my interest not to continue, obviously the question of me continuing beyond September doesn't arise. We will definitely ensure regulators will take that into account, and we are expecting to get their reply soon. Once that happens, we will come back to you announcing that.
Okay, okay. And sir, one last question. For this financial year, are we, I mean, can we target a four-figure mark for the net profit numbers?
Yeah, that's what we are endeavoring to do. 1,000 crores is what we are targeting.
Okay, okay. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand over the conference to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank all the participants who took the time off to be part of this call, and also I also wanted all the analysts who are part of the call to know that we have a very strong second line of leadership, and that's one reason why I had all our senior leadership to be part of this call, and also they answered few questions which came on the way. And I just want to say that the endeavor which we have taken to really put the bank in good condition is based on the fundamental shifts we have done in all the areas, be it assets, be it liabilities, be it quality of sourcing, be it digitalization, be it technology investments. Everywhere we have taken a lot of efforts to put the fundamental blocks in place, and that's what is actually getting good traction in the way the bank is performing. So I just want to thank all of you for the excellent support which I got all through my tenure of last 3 years. And you are continuing to show curiosity and ask many questions. Definitely would help us also to correct some of the things which we were probably doing in a different way, so that we are aligned to what is expected from us by the market. So I once again take this opportunity to profusely thank each one of you for the excellent support all of you have given during the entire tenure. And I am sure you will have a voice for a much larger growth. The bank has huge potential to grow, and we are. I would certainly expect this bank to be featuring among good medium-sized banks in a couple of years from now. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.